This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we will drink a toast for the show today that it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Damn on. And today we call the Men's Room Dealer's Choice Bad Choice Friday. Simply vote for myself, Steve the Thrill Hill, or the Ted Smith. We each picked a tune. Mm-hmm. You determine which member of the program you think maybe picked the best one. Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live. One of the three tunes coming up after we drink and toast with a shot of the day. Our question, what is the thing that you did one time and would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
You brought up the teacups earlier. And yeah, we like to make fun of you, call a big old bitch because a grown man should not get sick on the teacups.
I did not get sick.
Shouldn't even have the fear of getting sick on the teacups. Well, turns out you are not alone. Someone else says, my wife and I, we can't do the teacups at Disney. I promised to hold the center still so I wouldn't spend as much. Well, I spun it as fast as I could, and she threw up in my lap. Someone else says, I'm with Miles. I swore off most rides 30 years ago. And also, if you have an iPhone, have you tried the motion thing? Apparently, it places some moving dots on the screen. It's supposed to be good for looking at your phone if you're riding in a car.
I do not have that.
Someone else says Space Mountain, never again, absolutely the worst ride on earth. Had to lay down for 20 minutes to collect myself after that brutal thrashing. And then someone here says, look, I think it just comes with getting older, your inner ear. Basically, I could do everything and anything. Now I can only do giant roller coasters. Anything that spins in a circle just screws with
my
inner ear.
No, it does. However the vertigo is created, I can't get rid of it. Now, there are activities that I've... there's a few things. I'll never zip line again.
You won't?
No.
I thought you said once you got over your initial fear that you enjoyed.
The fear was fine. What it did to my junk was absolutely horrific. As far as the pain the entire time, harness was absolutely grabbing every single thing that I had.
You're not wrong. I did it in Vegas a couple of years with Mike Hawk, in fact. He was like, let's do this. I didn't mind the idea of doing it, but you're right. That harness, man, once your feet leave the platform... The whole time that we're zipping over, what is downtown, Fremont Street, it is, I do remember that, just like, oh my God, my testicles are in a lot of pain. Like, I wanted the ride to end because my testicles hurt, not because it was scary.
Yep. I mean, it was bad.
But I've heard that about skydiving, too.
I don't...
Like, my old trainer, like, he was like a bodybuilder, so he was a big dude. So he was right on the limit of, like, being able to do it.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, it was just so tight.
It is super tight. I don't remember my testicles aching much, but it was noticeably tighter than anything else that I've worn.
Ted, would you ever go snowmobiling ever again?
Probably not.
Nope.
I mean, it would have to be super flat.
just PTSD from your last experience.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's any less dangerous. Based on the speed, there could be fences, there could be ditches.
There could be, but just doing it up in Chelan, like those mountains and stuff. But I like thinking about it right now, right? Like, I got bucked off it. It landed upside down on a cliff. And then now I'm scared. But, like, some of these hills are so steep, you got to go fast.
Right, you got to gun it.
And then when I turned around to meet those guys at a lookout point, I still remember the back of that thing falling off. And luckily, I was smart enough to remember to gun it. So it pulled me up. But, I mean, if I had fallen off there, like, honestly, it was the dead of winter. I don't know when anybody would have found me.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Spring.
So that's like... Right, if I don't know, if I guess I was in Wisconsin or something, and it's like, it's just flat land, go tear it up. I might try it then.
It sounds very similar to Mike's story about
the dunes
in the Coos Bay area.
Right, he doesn't know it's going to be a cliff.
And when you go up to the top, you think you're going to jump it, and the dune has changed every single day based on the wind.
Well, instead of the way the wind was blowing, it looked like the dune kept going up.
Yeah.
And I think he said it was his mom waving him off, like, stop, stop. But, yeah, when he looked on the other side, what did he say? It was like a 50-foot drop or something like that?
Yep,
yep. You know what, Miles? That's a good call. Snowmobiling. I don't know that I would do that again. But I was shaking for hours.
But now you're scared of heights, too, Miles. When someone here says, I'm afraid of heights, but I went up to the Arch in St. Louis, yes, I would do it again.
Okay, well, see,
I've been up in that.
You're enclosed. So maybe that would help me.
If you have claustrophobia, though...
I don't have that.
Getting up there sucks, man. That getting in that pod is so tiny.
How many people can fit in it?
I think it's like 4 or 5.
And that's it.
But, I mean, you are squished in there.
I think the fact
Like, you being tall would hate it, right? Me being bigger, you don't want to sit next to me because we're going to be packed in there together. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's awesome when you're up there.
I think the fact that I grew up caving and you crawl through some really tight spaces.
Yeah, that'll get rid of claustrophobia.
You know, like maybe 18, 16 inches on some creases. That just doing that, I never really got scared of being in that situation because it was just normal. The dumbest thing you could ever do is just don't keep your hands out in front of you. It's very important you keep your hands in front of you at all times. Yeah. Once you learn that one thing, then you can pretty well be okay. But I do, as far as like just activities I've never done before but did once, we had at a radio station I worked at, one of the sponsors we had was a paintball company.
Yeah.
Well, they had their own, like, you know, paintball, like, kind of, I don't know, army area in the woods. So this whole area roped off. And the way you do it is you have two forts, and essentially, in this element of paintball, the way they did it was kind of more of a capture the flag.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're kind of defending your fort, you're defending your flag. If you capture the other opponent's flag, you win the game. And, of course, if you get shot, you are out. So we took a bunch of listeners down to this paintball complex, and, of course, we're going to play too. We are playing essentially the paintball staff and friends, we'll call them all-star team.
Okay.
All right?
So they know what they're doing.
They run the joint. They work there, and then they have some of their friends come that want to play us too. So we've been talking about this on the radio for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to go down. You know, your chance to win a chance to, you know, have a free afternoon of paintball or whatever the hell it was called. So we get down there, and these guys, they all have their own paintball guns.
Of course.
And we get all the rental stuff. We get all suited up. You know, they give you goggles and all these different things. And, man, when you start out, your adrenaline is pumping. You are army crawling. You're jumping into ditches that you never would before with, you know, rhododendrons, thorn bushes, trying to hide. You're trying to do all this crap. You're trying to maneuver as best you can. And I just remember taking this paintball to the neck when I was out.
Yeah, that's brutal.
It's kind of like I got hit by a bug one time when I was on my scooter.
Right.
But three times as bad. And when that thing hit my neck, man, and I was out, I was like, I held my neck, and then I started to walk out, but I had my hand up. That's kind of a sign that you're out, right? Put your hand up, you're out. All of a sudden, thump, 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 thump.
Yeah, you're also a target.
I get drilled, like, as soon as, like 5 more times. I'm just trying to put my hand up and stand up, and I'm getting hit from every side now, like, boom, 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 like, and it hurts. I mean, and their guns, I think, were a little bit more pressurized, so to speak.
I guarantee you they were.
I mean, that's what makes paintball more fun than, like, laser tag, is because there's real pain.
Yep.
And you can get hit.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
So when we were done with that, I was like, look, man, I am never, just based on pain, playing this game ever again. It was a one-shot deal. It was fun. It was a great adrenaline rush until you get shot multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's time to be like, because they had, like, 3 different rounds. This is like round one.
Yeah.
After that, I'm like, I'm out. I am out. I'm not doing this. This is my one and done, and I'm never doing paintball again.
The one thing I swore I would not do again, and it was my idea the first time. We went to Hawaii, I don't know, like 15 years ago or something. We're like, man, we live in Seattle. Let's go to Hawaii. Right? It's right there. When else are we going to go? So we went, and, you know, you do whatever you're going to do. But the one thing my wife really wanted to do, this submarine thing, and I did not tell her how remarkably terrifying I believe that scenario to be. We did it. It ended up being very cool. And, I mean, I was clenching my ass the whole time until I actually physically got inside of the sub. And it was cool. It was great. I wanted to do the helicopter ride. So she says, okay. So, like, so we rolled up to this guy, and it looked like he put this helicopter together in his own garage. You know, he's got the big, like, Wilford Brimley mustache kind of thing. And anyway, he flew us up there. I didn't realize how rickety the ride in a helicopter is, right? You know what I mean? It's not pressurized or anything, so you're constantly dropping 10 feet or the wind shifts and all this, and he's going around this volcano. And look, it was all beautiful and all that kind of thing, but also all I could think the whole time is I really want this thing to land. Like, I seriously want to get off of this thing, so I told my wife when we're done, look, I'm never getting on a helicopter again unless it's a medical emergency, right? There's just no chance.
But you won't even know. If that's the case, right, you won't even know that you've been transported.
The problem is, maybe 8 years later, and a trip to Canada, take the kids to Niagara Falls. But one of the stops to make along the way is the helicopter tour, right? Now, these guys, they look like Airwolf, you know what I mean? They're seriously standing with their hands on their hips, flight suits on, aviators and all this. And the kids, they really want to do it. And I'm like, God, like, this is the one thing I swore I'd never do again. I did it again. This was a more comfortable ride. I still cannot wait to land. But when the helicopter took off, you know, the kids have all the good seats. They get to sit up front. Me and the wife are in the back with some old broad. And I'm looking around, and like, I just want to get off this helicopter. I really do not enjoy the flight of a helicopter. And then my son points down at the highway that's under us. And he goes, Dad, if it crashes, let's hope we don't crash there. I'm like, this is not a conversation I want to have. And then when we got actually over Niagara Falls, I said, what do you think now? He's like, I'd rather crash on the highway. I'm like, exactly. But let's stop talking about it, man.
Correct. What is the thing that you did one time, and would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cliff. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Cliff.
Cliff, are you there?
He's there.
Oh, boy. Hello, Cliff. Welcome to the men's room.
It's going
to
be a long day.
Mm-hmm. Not Cliff.
Cliff, you got to talk to us. Cliff, what are you doing?
What in the F?
Can he not hear us?
I don't know.
Put him back on hold. All right, listen. Miles, repeat the question.
What is the thing that you did one time, and would you do it again?
Okay.
Did you tell him to turn his radio down?
Well, I don't think he's even listening to the radio. Okay. He's just talking to somebody else.
All right.
Hello, Cliff.
Cliff.
Nope.
Hello.
What the?
Nope.
Is he just saying no?
I don't know. Hey, Cliff, what are you doing? Yeah.
Where is Cliff?
Oh, God.
Who is this?
This isn't Cliff. This is Alex.
Oh, Alex.
Well, hello, Alex.
All right, there we go. Maybe that was our fault. All right, Alex.
All right. Your phone rings in as Cliff, so I wrote it as Cliff. Ah. My bad, boys.
Okay. I was wondering who's Cliff.
We're wondering why you wouldn't speak. Like, why does it keep giggling? Just talk to us, man.
I'm gonna punch you, Cliff.
That makes more sense now.
Sorry.
So, Alex, what have you done at least once, and would you do it again?
I went snowboarding up at Snoqualmie a couple years back, and everything was all cool until they took us to the Black Diamond part of the mountain.
Yeah.
And they didn't really tell us, you know, how steep that hill is. And, you know, there's only one trail to get there, and the only way back is to go down that hill.
Yeah.
And it's like a straight drop down. And when I looked at that thing, my vertigo just kicked in instantly. I was so scared, but they were like, nope, it's the only way down. So I just rode my brakes the whole way down. I was so terrified. But, you know, I looked to the left and right of me, and like everybody else, we're pretty beginner snowboarders at this point. So everybody's just kind of like flying down the hill on their brakes, and they can't stop. So I was terrified at that point too, you know?
Yeah. I've been in a similar situation on skis. I'm not the best skier in the world, but up at Whistler, whatever, what is the Olympic downhill run?
Yeah.
I ended up getting on that thing.
Did you realize that's what you're on, or?
Well, at that point in time, I had taken a lesson during the day.
A lesson.
The guy said,
"Oh, you feel confident."
Yeah. Well, the guy said,
"A lesson."
Well,
yes.
he's like, "Hey, I'm going to do one more run with you. I think you can do this run." And he really didn't tell me what the run was. But we get up there, and it's black or whatever. And I'm like, "All right, well, I'm done blues. I'm going to dry black." And it's a sheet of ice. And I mean, just like you say, man, you're just dropping down straight down a mountain. And it's absolutely terrifying. And if you can always catch a blade. I felt like I was just doing the biggest switchbacks that I wasn't even going down the hill. I was basically just doing a figure eight. I felt like in the same place, like just, I could not get down certain places. So I scrunched down a couple times on my ass. So I got to a certain point where I thought I can take this angle.
Yeah.
There was a couple times there. I'm like, and I hated it. I was so terrified. I knew for a fact then, like, I think I'm done with the sport. I was trying it for a while, but...
I've been on a double black diamond on the top of Crystal. Now, getting down wasn't that bad, but you had to take... There's two ways to get down. You can do, like, the front, but that's got a bunch of moguls.
Okay.
Or you got to take a long cat track around.
So you took the cat track all the way down.
So we... Well, no, the cat track goes around to the back side, which doesn't have moguls. It's still a double black diamond. But I, at the time, I could snowboard enough to like, it was fine getting down, but the cat track was very treacherous. Like, to the point, I just unstrapped my board. I was like, oh, I'm just going to walk. Because mm-hmm. the one side of the cat track is just a cliff.
Yep. I didn't realize, so the last time I went skiing, I didn't realize what the different diamonds meant. I knew what they meant, but I just thought, like, so I'm a green guy, all right? That is
okay.
About my skill set is green, and even then in my mind, I'm going 1,000 miles an hour. But I'm not scared.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can do green. So I went up to blue, and the way I perceived it was simply, you just went higher up. I didn't realize the things got steeper, right? So just going to the blue, just for me, man, get off the chairlift, I'm ready to go. And then you kind of get to the edge before you're going to actually go mm-hmm. down. And I realized when I looked down, like, this is so much steeper than the green. And it all clicked in my head, and kind of like you're saying on the black. And obviously, again, this is a blue. I'm a candy ass, but... I hated it. I mean, I basically went down the blue part with the french fries on the skis, mm-hmm. pizza wedge, I mean, right? Just so I could kind of go slow. And then when you kind of get to the green part, then I loosened up a little bit. I'm like, not so bad. So, yeah, I didn't realize that it was steeper. I just thought it was taller.
What is the thing that you did one time, and would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, that's the thing, too. Whenever you go skiing or snowboarding, somebody's like, you're not that good. Like, it helps... Helps if the person taking you, honestly, is not selfish and is like, okay, you can do this or you can't.
Right.
You know, or like I got to the point, like I only learned as I was dating a girl that loves snowboarding. So after like 4 or 5 times, like, just go do your thing. Because I am scared assless on some of the stuff you're taking me on.
My son was bitching about that last week, I think it was. So they do their ski bus thing or whatever. But he now does the double blacks and all this kind of thing. But one of his buddies was with him and he said... He did not know that his buddy was not prepared to do the blacks. He just wanted to hang out with a group of friends, right? So, like, four of them went up, but one out of the four just wasn't that great of a skier. So I was like, anyway, how was your skiing? And it's like, it's kind of a disaster, Dad. I'm like, what happened? He's like, oh, not me, but just our one friend. What did he say? It took, like, 40 minutes to get down the mountain. Because this kid was so petrified when they got up to the blacks. Like, first they had to talk him into, like, look, man, either you're going to walk down or you're going to ski down. And it was just pissing my kid off because it's like, man, you know, we want to ski.
Right.
It's like, this is like 4 runs worth of time just to get him to go down. And then he's screaming and falling down. He's like, we had to keep our eye on him. So he's like, it wasn't fun. I'm like, well, did he go back up with you the second time? He's like, oh, God, no, man.
No.
Okay, go have fun.
What is the thing you did one time? Would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, how are you guys?
Hola. We're doing great. Terry, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Congratulations on your show for 20 years.
It's
absolutely awesome.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay. I have always wanted to go skydiving. Always wanted to go. Never had the chance. And when I moved up here to Washington from Indiana, I found out that they do skydiving up here. So I tried to talk my husband into it. He wouldn't do it. Finally, when our anniversary came around a couple of years ago, I talked him into it. So we went to Toledo and was getting all ready. And, you know, you have to do the tandem thing there. And we went skydiving. I didn't think he was going to go. He probably wouldn't have if the guy wouldn't have jumped.
Yeah, that's the way I was.
Of course, he had to go. I was all ready, and I absolutely loved it. Would absolutely do it again.
Okay.
That's awesome.
How much did that cost you?
And he, I can't remember for sure, but a little over 200 or right. something like that.
But definitely worth it for the experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was wonderful.
And how many years ago did you do this?
About 2 years ago anniversary for our 10th year.
Now, how about your husband? Would he do it again?
He would now. He said he's not scared anymore for it. He would do it again. Okay. I don't know for sure if that's true, but he did have a great time. We enjoyed it so much.
How old were you when you did this for the first time?
60.
All right, nice.
No, like that, Terry.
Okay, good, man. Got it going.
Very cool. What is the thing you did one time? Would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of Season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Coming up until 4:35, the return of Ted versus the FCC. Right after emails on our question, what is the thing that you did one time, and would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Barb. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hola.
Doing great, Barb, thanks.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
So my daughter decided on our 50th birthday, she was going to get us a Groupon to jump out of an airplane.
All right.
My husband was not 100% happy about it. We go down to Toledo, we get there, we find out we're jumping out of the airplane all by ourselves.
Wait. You mean not tandem?
Not tandem, correct.
Is there like a 3-hour training session or something like that before you can do that?
You're supposed to watch a video and then you sign off.
Watch a video? So it's like BKU.
Yeah, just you kind of watch a video and then they just sign off and you wait.
All right.
Well, we decided we didn't want to do it on our own, so we decided to pay the extra and do the tandem. We were supposed to be falling out of the airplane at like noon. at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're standing around waiting and waiting. We finally get up there. I'm listening to everything that the guy has told me what to do. My husband, the minute we get into this rickety airplane, he's forgotten everything the guy told him to do. I'm sitting right next to the pilot, and apparently I have to watch my knee. If I hit this switch or something, it could make us, I don't know, I guess die.
Yeah. All right.
I jump out of the airplane. I'm doing good. My husband goes to jump out of the airplane, and he's like a cat. He is not coming out of that airplane. He is attached to this guy. The guy finally yanks him out. He ends up ripping his leg. He's got a 6-inch scar on his leg. He's bleeding. I'm up there doing twirls. I'm having a good time in the sky trying to wave at Chris. He's not paying any attention to me. He's looking straight at the ground. We finally land. I get up. I look at him. His eyes are about the size of a saucer. He comes over, grabs a hold of me, and is just like, I can't believe I made it. And then got in the car, and we were ready to go home.
That was it. So I guess you would do it again. He would not.
I would. He would not.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, just depends on your experience.
I do like, yeah, just watch this video. Jump out of a plane, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I watched my daughter paraglide over a mountain when we were down in Africa. And I looked up and I'm like, nope.
What about the...
She got down. She's like, that was awesome, Dad. You would have loved it. I'm like, no, I wouldn't have.
What about...
wouldn't have liked it.
Back of the boat. Yeah. The parasailing.
I have done that one time.
I debate it because, look, every time I go to Mexico, like, there's this one spot where it all tourism.
Here's my thought on that. You're going to fall into the water.
I'm a pretty competent swimmer,
and if the water's warm, I'm fine. It just depends on how you land. So, like,
right.
You just got to make sure that you get in, because I've jumped off very tall bridges off cliffs.
Sure.
I've done that in my lifetime. I can do that.
But the thing,
I feel safer.
For someone who's scared of heights, the fact that you jumped off, like, the 60-foot bridge
at least, something like that? Yeah, we did it all the time as kids. I've jumped off of cliffs in Jamaica. I can jump off of a cliff.
So you can do that?
Right.
So would you skydive then?
I'm not in control. At least when I'm flying through the air, I can manipulate my body with my arm.
You're definitely not in control when you jump off of a cliff.
You kind
of are. In control of what? Gravity is 100%.
How you were flying
through
the air.
Sure.
Well, your control, right, but how you land, but also, like, there's other aspects that make cliff jumping more dangerous.
Well, you could slip when you push off. That's probably
not get far enough out. There's sharks down there. There could be a rock formation. Like, I'm with Thrill. To me, skydiving seems safer.
Because the parachute, assuming the parachute opens, it's all good.
Well, what I did in Jamaica, yeah, we did have to wait for a shark to leave the cove.
Yeah.
Before we could jump again. So it was about a 15-minute wait. So I just went and got a beer.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that seems a little looser.
I don't think I cared at that time. I think I was really, really high.
Hey, man, we're in Jamaica. Wow.
What is the thing that you did one time? Would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
But teacups, too much.
Yeah, teacups. Not good.
Jump off a 60-foot bridge, you go cliff diving.
I'm not spinning.
Whatever, but not teacups. Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the men's room.
Good evening.
Hola.
Hola. Hey, congratulations, guys, man. I love your show.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, brother.
So back in 1984, I just got through playing football. I was in shape. Victor the Bear was coming through Tulsa, Oklahoma, 31st and Garnett, 21st Century, 1984-85. And if you lifted Victor the Bear up, anyway, just 1 inch, you would win an IROC Z28.
That's perfect for the 80s.
Yeah. So, of course, several Long Island iced teas later, I got my friends like, Brown, go wrestle that bear. So I got in the ring with this bear. I got on the second rope, and I was saying, "When is he? Where is he? Is he close? Yeah, he's close." I did a backflip, tried to grab him by the back of his legs and try to hoist him up. Man, he grabbed me by the seat of my britches and just slammed me. I was like, damn it.
But he is a bear.
Yeah, there's a cat daddy from Fayetteville, Arkansas, hillbilly-looking guy, actually picked him up. They didn't give him the IROC Z28. He sued, and he ended up getting two of them. In 1990, when I moved here, Victor the Bear was in Squim, Washington, at the animal safari over there, and I have photos with him.
And it was the same bear you wrestled?
Same bear I wrestled 6 years earlier. It was a trip, and the same trainer... He goes, hey, I remember that.
But you weren't scared of just getting in the ring with an animal.
A bear.
With a bear.
I was drunk, man. I'm I'm football, baseball, and wrestler. So I wrestled, you know, a guy named Tony Casillas that played for the Cowboys.
Oh yeah. So, he was an all pro defensive tackle, man.
Yeah, he's a beast. Yeah, we played football together in elementary and junior high.
Okay, that's crazy.
How long were you in the ring with the Bear?
Man, it felt like, you know, 10 minutes, but I guarantee you it was probably four.
All right.
You know, so, long enough for me to parade around like Steve Miggs.
Did the Bear have a muzzle on? You said it.
He did. Okay. At that time, he did. Yes, sir.
And did it seem like, I mean, it's a bear, so, I mean, just Steve, did you grapple with this thing at all?
I did. I got close to him, and I kind of clinched with him. Like, holy, I'm in the ring with a freaking bear. Oh, my God.
How bad did Bear smell?
Yeah.
You know, he had your, you know, wild animal musky smell. So just say like your dog just went swimming in Puget Sound.
All right, okay, all right.
When you're in the clinch with the bear, could you throw a knee, or is it just wrestling?
You know, I got in tight with him once, and he grabbed me, and I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to hug with a bear. So I started parading around the ring, got on the second rope, and I did a back foot, and I tried to pull him from behind. He just grabbed it. It wasn't pretty after that.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Would you do it again?
Hell no.
Okay. I just can't. The claws.
When you get pinned by a bear, you don't want to be underneath a bear yet.
So was the bear on its hind quarters the entire time? Was the bear standing when you were wrestling?
Yeah. Oh, he stood up a couple times.
Okay. And were you guys eye to eye, basically?
Oh, God, no. He's about 7 feet tall.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. I mean, what kind of bear was this? Black bear, grizzly bear, what?
It's black bear.
All right.
Now, does it sober you up?
He's in movies.
Does it sober you up at all? Like, I've been drunk, and I don't know, something bad happens, and somehow your adrenaline makes you sober. So at the point that the bear is actually in the ring, do you begin to sober up like, I'm going to clinch with a freaking bear?
Oh, hell no. I wasn't just on alcohol.
Aha. Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Good times. It was the 80s.
Ironically, I'm reading up on this bear. It sounds like they muzzled him. They declawed him.
Oh, they did declaw him.
They did. But it also sounds like they put a bunch of drugs in him, too, to get him a little aggressive.
Oh, really?
To make the bear aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you attack a bear, you're going to wrestle a bear. It's natural aggression will take hold.
Yeah.
You don't need to make them angrier.
What is the thing that you did one time? Would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tom. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Apparently, he liked to drink Coca-Cola.
Jesus Christ.
If he won, he got a free Coca-Cola. They said, which he guzzled quickly. All right.
Hey, back in 1981... I went with a group of guys, and we went cliff jumping at the Green River Gorge. And, you know, it was incredibly fun. But I thought about it several times. No way in heck would I do that again.
Yeah, I mean, just based on you anymore, I'm afraid of how deep the water is, what is underneath the water. There could be a rock that's 2 feet underneath the water. You cannot see that from the surface.
Yeah.
And that's the real problem with that.
Yeah, it was so green. And on the last jump when we stopped, it was probably the highest cliff. And the water was so green, you couldn't see the bottom. And so what I did, I said to myself, how deep is this? And I didn't know, so I didn't really like the guy who was standing next to me. So I just said, hey, we all know you're scared. Just go back to the car right now. And with that, he just took off and jumped. And he comes up, you know, second later, swims away. So I go, well, okay. So I jumped in, and I'll be darned, the water was probably over 50 feet. But the water was 8 feet deep. And I hit the bottom pretty hard.
Yeah. But you Jedi mind F this guy into jumping off so you can find out how deep it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, that's an inherent danger, too. If you're in 8 feet, typically at the bottom of a river, it's going to be silt.
Right.
So I've had buddies that have jumped off that bridge where we did growing up. And if you go feet first with your toes pointed down, there's a good chance you shoot right down. And, you know, people up to their calves and had to push out of the silt to then put their feet on the bottom of the lake to then push up to the top, which is about 12 feet, 10 feet. So, yeah, if you hit that thing like a torpedo, man, there's a good chance you can embed yourself down at the bottom of the lake.
Which, to me, that's a nightmare.
That's why, I mean, I don't care. That's why you always have to be super careful and jump in.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've told the story, too, of, like, we go to the same lake house almost every year in Montana, but sometimes the lake's lower than normal. But, like, I jumped in, but also there's a way, you know what I mean? Like, like, I clearly had to move my legs once I got in the water and landed on my butt. But, like, if you dive in, you would get hurt.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Yeah, there's a list of things that people said they'd never do again from BuzzFeed. Jumping into a pool without knowing how deep it is. I backflipped into a pool, bumped my head on the floor. I wasn't hurt, but immediately thought that was stupid, and it could have been a lot worse. Here you go, ziplining. Got stuck. They had to reel me in. I had that happen to me, too.
Somebody on the text line says, I ziplined across the canyon where the Royal Gorge Bridge is in Canyon City, Colorado. They said, that's all they had to say about it. My thing is, when I was a kid, when we lived in Denver, my parents took us there. I did not know what the Royal Gorge was, and it is a suspension bridge. It goes over the Colorado, and I don't remember how many feet up it is, man, but it's like over 1,000 feet high. It was the most terrifying experience of my freaking life because my parents are like, we're going to walk across the bridge. Keep in mind, there's traffic on this bridge, too, and it's just wood slats and rope, man. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking across and this van going by, and you can feel like the weight of the van kind of pushing the bridge down. Anyway, we get to the other side, and my brother and I are like, look, man, we're done. Like, we can't do this. And my father goes, well, we got a problem, fellas. We parked up. We got to go back across the freaking bridge. To get to the car, I cannot explain how long it took. And not just us. I mean, I remember a woman. The only thing I know about this woman is that she had a friend named Mary. Because there's this one little break between two of the slats on the bridge. And she looked down. And this is a grown-ass woman. And remember, she's kind of laughing, kind of crying, just saying, Mary, I can't do it. And her friend Mary saying, just step to the next plane. She couldn't do it. I mean, it is terrifying, man. Yep.
What is the thing you did one time? And would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola. Doing good, Bill. Positive Friday.
Well, back in the, I think it was the late 80s, maybe early 90s, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes were in a cage match, and just before them was the Road Warriors and the Russians in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And right after the Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes match, my buddy Jeff jumps in the ring, and he's standing, jumping around like he's a champ, and I came in behind him, and I climbed up the cage, stood on the top like Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and jumped down and landed right behind him. He bounced about 3 feet up in the air, kind of looked confused, looked around. I elbowed him once in the head. He went down, kicked my feet out from underneath me. We wrestled around on the mat for a second, and I got up with him on my shoulders and did my airplane spin. Not the referee. The referee had come back into the ring, was yelling at us to get out. I hit the referee upside the head with my buddy's feet, knocked him down, slammed my buddy down, and ran towards the corner of the cage where the door was, slid under the ropes and out of the cage. Turned around, and the ref had my buddy Jeff by the hair in the back of his pants, kicking him in the butt, and threw him out of the cage, only he hit the cage itself, piled all up. And the crowd just swarmed us. It was great.
Were you supposed to be wrestling, or did they invite you into?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Would you guys just rush the ring?
Yep. The cops were after us and everything, but they couldn't get to us because of the crowd.
Wow.
Would you do it again?
Oh, definitely.
I had a feeling.
Champion for a night.
I'm surprised you didn't get your ass kicked, too, you know?
I don't know.
By somebody.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
I let this buddy ended up kicking the ref in the head with your buddy's legs.
What is the thing you did one time? Would you do it again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Solomon. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Hola. We're doing good, man.
Hola. my experience was parasailing. I was with my entire family. It was like 70 of us who went to my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, and we chartered a boat, so our whole family was on it. And not the whole family, but, you know, there was no other members, just our family members. And so, you know, when you're sailing, you know, you get to use the control and dunk people as they're, you know, as they're doing their parasailing. Well, I was the very last one, and I'm up there, and I'm enjoying the view, and I'm looking over to the right, and I'm seeing this commotion in the water. I can't really tell what it is, but the closer I get,
my brother's got the controls this time. And so he stopped the boat, and I'm starting to plummet kind of fast towards where I can see it. I now realize it's a whale carcass with a shark feeding frenzy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so I'm literally going straight down to, on top of this thing. Before I can actually, you know, touch it up with my butt, my dad sees what's going on because, you know, they're on the water level. They can't really see what the commotion was. But my dad was finally able to see he hits the gas, and I had my feet up and my arms up in the stirrups of this thing. I literally pissed myself, and I thought I was going to die for sure. So I'll never parasail again.
Yeah.
I've never been in the ocean again since.
Where are you guys doing the anniversary party?
Oh, it was my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. So they actually paid for like 70 people in the family to go to Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay, at least the water's warm. I mean, I'm not saying that's the...
was a feeding frenzy on a whale carcass. You could have died in comfortable water.
Yeah, 1992. I mean, my butt came like probably 2 or 3 feet from touching the carcass. You know, that's how close I was. You see your life flash in front of your eyes, definitely.
How many sharks do you estimate were there?
Probably a dozen or more.
Jeez, man.
And you've never gone in the ocean since?
No, I never have. And they weren't necessarily big sharks either. I mean, they were just, I think they're probably all blue sharks, whatever's out there.
It doesn't matter. They're in a feeding frenzy, and you're about to land on the whale carcass.
You can't make this stuff up, man, yeah.
No, you can't. No, you're absolutely right.
Jesus Christ, are you kidding me?
That's getting exciting, you know.
How did he die? Look, man, I just did a prank. I didn't realize he landed on a whale carcass while sharks were eating it.
Jesus, God.
God almighty, man.
I mean, I can't believe he never went in the ocean again.
I can't. Okay.
Well, just, I mean, you're not out in the deep part. Like, you would think at some point you would just take a vacation and be I want to go swimming on the beach.
No,
Miles, my arms aren't long enough to close it. It's over here. It's this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So the sun's blaring in here, but I have short little gator arms. Like, Thrill was talking, but, like, I can see Miles was just, like, literally blinded.
I'm dying.
There you go, Thrill. A little farther.
All right.
There you go. Now got him.
All right.
Now he can focus again. Focus in, man.
Another says, watching the ball drop on New Year's Eve in Times Square. Crowded, cold, full of drunk, rowdy people. It was an experience I'll always remember, but I'll never do again. I've never been to Times Square, but I have been to...
You've never been to Times Square?
Not for New Year's Eve.
Oh, no.
But I have been to Las Vegas, and I'll tell you, that's a one-only trip.
Really?
It's
my buddies did it last year. They were going to a show at the Sphere. You got to keep in mind, though, it's New Year's Eve in Vegas. Not only is every restaurant booked, all the bars in your hotel are all reserved tables.
Correct.
Oh, God.
And you know, it's not that Vegas has different. The crowd on New Year's Eve is a different crowd. It is a New Year's Eve crowd.
Correct. In Vegas.
And it's a lot different. Vegas is great anytime. As far as just having a good time, you don't need New Year's Eve, but they do shut down the strip and they make it so that it's just a little more raucous, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people who are normally just having a good time, now they are all in. I mean, it is packs of people. There are fights. There's just it's a lot.
New Year's Eve is like a wedding. People that don't even usually partake in drugs or alcohol. Especially alcohol.
If you're going there for that night, no matter what you do the rest of the time, that night, every single person there is throwing down. That is going to be the night where they get a little bit crazy. And it's a very weird environment based on the fact that the people who want to go there for that are doing exactly that, and they're taking it to 11. So, you know, every other night was fine, but that night was just like, man...
It's too much.
This is a little bit weird of a vibe. Just like, I don't know how much longer I want to hang out. I want to ring in the new year and all that.
Yeah.
Man, as soon as it starts getting close, everyone's out on the street.
Well, and you forget, too, with Vegas, that's a world city, right? That's a destination. So even if you go to a festival or a concert out here, right, like, it's mostly going to be people from the Northwest.
Correct.
So you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas, like, people, frankly, like in Baltimore and stuff, just party different.
Yes, they do. So,
but in Vegas, it's all a mixture of people.
Everybody.
Correct. So, I mean, that's what I always thought was a little different. Plus, I mean, I am just not a New Year's Eve person. So it's like, New Year's Eve in Vegas.
It seemed like a good idea. And then, of course,
Seattle gets hit with a major snowstorm.
Right.
And it's an ice storm. And it's bad. And nobody can fly in and out of SeaTac for days. I'm supposed to fly back New Year's Day. Well, that gets canceled. At about 6 o'clock on New Year's Day, Vegas starts to shut down. And when I mean shut down, I mean shut down. Every performer, if anyone takes a vacation, if anyone gets time off, if any, Vegas is done on January the 2nd. And we were there. And yes, you can get a reservation. There are restaurants that are closed down.
Right.
I mean, the restaurants that people go to. Everybody has those days off. It's universally known. Mm-hmm. But to me, you know, I'm just stuck there. I'm like, even Penn and Teller weren't doing shows. I mean, you name the person who performs every single, the Osmonds, whoever the hell it is. They're not performing it. Nobody is. There's no usher.
I mean, I imagine nothing. New Year's Day, there'd still be some partiers, but by the second, everybody's going to be done.
You cannot believe walking through a card room and there's one dealer.
Right.
In Vegas.
The whole place is just, everyone just goes home.
Still to come, the return of Ted versus the FCC at 4:35. And we've got your emails coming up next. The Men's Room at KISW.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.